Morning. Happy Palm Sunday, right? So the precursor, of course, to next week, we got Easter coming up. So that's really cool. So this is a pretty exciting time. So greetings to you in the name of the Lord. And I hope that you saw the announcements up. So please, if you receive Journey Weekly, press into those, press into the announcements and different things coming up. Of course, Easter Sunday is next Sunday. Invite a friend, right? Invite a friend. If you have people in your life who don't know the Lord or who for some reason are unchurched, few people will get angry at you if you invite them to church, right? Most people think it's really natural. Like, hey, you have a religion. You gather, with some regularity in honor of your religion. Obviously we're Christians. And so they will take an invite and say, oh yeah, thank you. Even if they can't come or don't want to. You know, we usually, in our minds, in our imaginations, we think that, like, you know, something weird's going to happen. Like, you know, like there's going to be a nuclear blast or something like that. If we invite somebody, no! You're right. Or something like that. Or, you know, there'll be like plagues and famines or something. We psych ourselves out of doing very simple things. Invite somebody. Right, invite somebody who maybe is not in church right now. Invite somebody who doesn't know Jesus right now. See what will happen. And by the way, even if they don't come, it could start a conversation, right? It could be a conversation starter. So be ye not afraid, right? And just make a little list, about three people. I'm inviting so-and-so. You could do it via text. You could take a picture of the little postcard and send it to him. I got a few people in my stack who I invite. I've had people come. I've had people not come. But you know what happened? Like, none of them, like, you know, looked at me and went, no, absolutely not. Or nobody breathed fire on me, right? Nobody firebombed my car, right? Nobody did anything weird. All the weird things in our imagination. Don't be psyched out by your imagination. Invite somebody. See what happens. See what the Lord will do. Cool? Rock and roll. All right. In any event, we got a word from the Lord this morning. Let's pray because we need the Lord as we turn to the Word. Let's do it. Father God, in the great name of King Jesus, we honor you and lift you up on this Palm Sunday. Thank you that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords rides into our heart on a donkey and not on a war horse. Thank you, Lord, that you came proclaiming peace. Thank you for the strange peace of the cross where you made war on sin, hell, death, and the devil. But you made peace with us if we accept your terms of peace. In the name of Jesus, Lord, ride into our hearts with this word that we have today before us. Ride into our hearts, Lord, as the ascended Lord, but who's still kind, who's still gentle. Speak to us, Lord. Help us to discern your will. Help us to discern all that you would have us do in response to this word. In the great name of King Jesus, our Lord. Amen. I'm going to read the Palm Sunday passage. It is an extension of what Todd has already read in worship. It's from Luke 19. It is verses 37 through 48. Let's go ahead and read it. I'm reading from the New International Version of Scripture. Let's read it. Luke 19. Sorry, I'll give you a little chance to get there. If you're digital or you're analog, I'm so excited, right? So I'm going to chill out, a little bit too much coffee. So need coffee, but I need the Holy Ghost more, so I'll cool out. All right. In any event, Luke 19, 37 through 48. By this time, Jesus has already procured a donkey. Right, he had a guy. You know, it's always good in your life to have a guy. You need a car guy, right? You need a tree guy. In the Northwest, you really need a tree guy. Wow, you need a moss guy in the Northwest. Moving here, it was like, hey, if you have somebody to take care of the moss that's growing on your roof, I was like, I'm not from any other part of the nation where moss on my roof was a thing, right? But here we are. Right, lived in four states, and in this one, you moss on the roof. So you need a moss guy, right? You need like a guy for all these. I got a cool plumber guy. I got a great plumber guy. He's amazing, right? You need a guy. Well, Jesus had a donkey guy, right? You read earlier in the passage, it starts out where, like, he tells the disciples, he's like, so I got this guy, and he's got a donkey. And go find the guy and tell the guy the master needs it. He's going to give you the donkey and give me the donkey. And it's like, wait, what? You got another guy other than us? Another, really? It's like, yeah, really. And they go, and everything works out exactly that way. We don't know the name of this guy. We have no idea. It's Jesus' donkey guy, right? And he had a guy. So he's got the donkey, and it's Passover, and as Todd framed it, there could be anywhere up to 1 million people in Jerusalem. This is a major pilgrimage. Think about in Islam, when you see people making the Hajj to go to Mecca, right? If you ever seen pictures of that, it's massive. It's like that. Some people do it, something like once in a lifetime. They want to celebrate Passover in Jerusalem, right? Usually, if you're Jewish, you would want to at least celebrate Passover in the Holy Land. And Jewish people are scattered about all over the Roman Empire at this time, so you'd make a pilgrimage, right? And it would be a long one because we didn't have planes, trains, and automobiles, right? So people would, this is a big deal. There's a lot of people around. A lot of them know about Jesus. A lot of them don't. A lot of them have no idea about Jesus, and so they're hearing the buzz, right? They're hearing good buzz. Hey, he healed me. He healed my sister. I used to be blind, right? They're also hearing bad buzz from religious leaders. He's a heretic. He's a blasphemer. Watch out. He said he's going to destroy the temple, right? So it's a weird time. There's a lot of right information, a lot of what we call now misinformation. And it's a highly pitched religious environment. Everybody wants to get their religion on, right? That's the setting. That's Palm Sunday. Let's read verse 37. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they'd seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out there those who were selling. "It's written," he said to them, "my house will be a house of prayer, but you've made it into a den of robbers." Every day, he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it because of all the people who hung on his words. Our passage has two soundtracks. Like the soundtrack to a movie, right? It has two soundtracks. One of them is from Psalm 119, verse 38. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," right? "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest," right? This is inspired by Psalm 118. Right? It's a praise psalm. It praises God for God's deliverance from crisis. Right? We don't know the crisis. We don't know. We're not told, is it deliverance from Egyptian slavery at the Exodus? Is it some battle, some nation they were delivered from? Is it something they composed after the exile when they were freed from Babylon? right? We just don't know, right? But it is a praise psalm that Jewish people used to praise God for deliverance, to praise God for deliverance from some kind of national level crisis. That's the soundtrack, right? As Jesus comes in. And we understand why. It's Jesus, right? He's riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. All right, let's get it on, right? It's Passover season. Woohoo, let's go, right? This is a praise song. But there's a word, too, that they would say with this, one word that they would say, and the word would be normally Hosanna. Hosanna. Sometimes you say Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna means just please save. Please save. That's all it means. One word just means please save. It's a cry for salvation. Right? It could be a cry for salvation from anything, right? Usually here, national crisis, an enemy, someone who's got the knee on the neck of the nation of Israel. If you're Jewish at this time, it would be Rome. You'd want salvation from Rome, who's occupying your land, right? Or it could be before Rome came along, anybody else who had the knee on the neck of Israel. It could be Egypt or some other nation, some other Gentile nation, whatever. But the soundtrack here is Psalm 118, and then more specifically, Hosanna. Please save. Please save. Right. Please save. Right. And Jesus affirms the positive nature of the soundtrack. Right. We're told when he comes near, his disciples are joyfully praising God in loud voices. Why? Because of all his miracles. Right? They've seen all the miracles. So they're putting two and two together, and they're like, whoa, this guy has a miracle-working power. He's riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. It's Passover. It's not wrong if you're Jewish to be thinking he's probably the Messiah. He's going to get our land back. He's going to cleanse the temple, and he will get our land back. That was one of the jobs of the Messiah, one of the expectations. When he came, he would destroy all the Gentiles who were ruling over Jewish people, and he would get the temple back. Right? There's a crucial thing you had to fulfill if you were the guy, the Messiah, the Moshiach, right? And so the math on this isn't bad. It's like, let's see, miracle-working power from God, riding on a donkey into Jerusalem on Passover, could be the guy. I think he's the guy. I want him to be the guy. I like the guy. He healed my little sister. Let's just say he's the guy, right? Psalm 118 time. All right, Hosanna, save us. Please save. Jesus affirms this. By the way, he affirms this attitude towards him. Verse 39, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Like, chill these dudes out. He says, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." You can't suppress this stuff. I am the real deal. I am who they think I am, kind of. They should be celebrating. And if you shut them down, rocks, trees, birds, lizards, they'd cry out. You can't keep it down. You can't shut down a good soundtrack. You can't shut it down. You can't shut down a good soundtrack. It's not happening. It's not happening. And the triumphal entry has an amazing soundtrack. But the soundtrack is a little bit different than what people think. They got the right song, Psalm 118. They even got the right chant, Hosanna. Please save. They got all that right. Jesus affirms it. Right? But it's going to come to mean a little bit different thing than what they think by the time of Good Friday. which is fast approaching. Right? Everything's right. Jesus affirms it. Psalm 118, Hosanna. They should be praising. But the Sarah text is going to take on a little bit different meaning when Good Friday hits. You know, there's a lot of popular songs that aren't what they appear to be. Right? Sometimes I run into a song and I'm like, I grew up liking it. And I was like, this is such a cool song. Right? I can't, like, this is an amazing song. And then, like, you later on, you grow up and listen to it, you're like, ugh. Whoa. Ho. Oh. Wow. Why am I singing this? Especially when you have kids. Right? And your kids pick up on something you missed. Right? You know, I saw it from the 80s, and my kids listen to it going, Dad, why is this lion say this? And I'm like, that's not a good song. I'm sorry, baby. Daddy messed up. Right? John Lennon, Imagine. Right? That's a really cool song. I like that song. I grew up with that song. And then later on, you know, he came to realize that basically he said this in an interview. He's like, yeah, if basically it's just the Communist Manifesto. Communism has killed like over 100 million people as an ideology all over the world. Hey, I'm not into that song anymore. Let's not do that one. Sounds pretty, but bruh, right? Maybe not, right? Now, you may not remember this one. I remember this one growing up because this is a really cool song, especially in the black community. It was made by a British guy. His name is Eddie Grant. And he made a song called Electric Avenue, right? Okay, some people remember Electric Avenue. I'm really happy I'm not crazy. All right, so in any event, that was a cool song, but I still like Electric Avenue. It's a fun song. It's crazy danceable. Right, and it's just really good, right? And is kind of a reggae beat to it. And he said though that what it is about is it's about there's Brixton riots in England in 1981, in London. There's these riots in Brixton, and they were caused by unemployment and police brutality. And that's what the song is really about. It's like, whoa, okay, I like that song. Kind of like it a little bit even more now. Okay, all right, right. That was interesting. The Beatles, their song Blackbird. I forgot what album it was off of. But Blackbird, which just sounds like a song about a bird, right? Like, you know, blackbirds, right? And but it wasn't. It was actually a song about the Civil Rights Movement. Civil Rights Movement. That's about it. It was about the Civil Rights Movement. Paul McCartney said, I got the idea of using a blackbird as a symbol for a black person. It wasn't necessarily a black bird, but it works that way because he was thinking about the Little Rock Nine in Arkansas who had to integrate a school and the National Guard had to come out. And that's what the song is about, right? Songs can be deeper than you think, both in good ways and bad ways. I didn't know any of this, right? I was like, whoa. So for some songs I like, and I'm like, oh, this has a horrifying meaning. I'm like, okay, I got to put that aside. For other songs that you dig, and you're like, whoa, that's even deeper than I thought. It's like, all right, I'm grooving to it, and it's got soul. It's got a moral center. Hey, I'm winning, right? That's really cool. Some songs work that way. They work on a few different levels, right? This is how Psalm 118 is working here. It's the right soundtrack. Right, the chant Hosanna is the right chant. Save, please save. It's the right occasion. Jesus riding into Jerusalem during Passover on a donkey. It's the right guy. He's a miracle worker and looks a lot like the Messiah. He does a lot of Messiah-ish kind of things. Says a lot of Messiah-ish kind of things, but not always the way people expect. Right. And he's descended from David, got the right profile, got the right bloodline, right? This is all right. Everything about this is right. And the Pharisees are flipped out because they know what they're hearing. People are saying this. The Pharisees figure out, they don't like it, but they figure it out, what people mean. They mean this is the Messiah. That's why they tell the disciples to be quiet. Because they knew that Rome would not tolerate another king if Rome got wind that, hey, there's a guy claiming to be this messianic king coming in, then Rome would be like, and they're going, could you just keep that down? Could you keep that revolutionary stuff down? The Romans are going to kill us. They're going to get us all in trouble. Stop it. And Jesus says, nope, nope, nope. Say it loud. Hosanna your head off. They're right. Right? Kinda. Jesus throws a monkey wrench to this whole thing. Remember, he affirms the praise. He affirms it, even in the face of the Pharisees saying, could you tone that down a little bit? He affirms it, right? But then he says this. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Yeah. Does he go from affirming the praise to this? So because everybody's expecting a fight. Jesus will come in on a donkey, and he's ready to fight. And he's got miracle-working powers. He can really fight, right? It's the right soundtrack, but it's a different fight. It's a different fight. Because right now he tells them, Rome's going to knock you out. That's AD 70. That's a few decades from when Jesus is alive. Rome's going to knock you out. They're going to ransack Jerusalem. They're going to destroy a temple. The temple has still not been rebuilt to this day. Rome's going to knock you out. And the reason is because you wouldn't repent. Same thing that happened with Babylon. God's going to let it happen. It's God's wrath. Rome's going to knock you out. You should have listened to me. You should have listened to me. You should have accepted me. Rome's going to knock you out and kill everybody in the process. Right? Right soundtrack. Different fight. In other words, he's also saying, I'm not here to take the temple for you. And I'm not here to fight the Romans. Right? Keeps going. Verse 45, when Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. It is written, he said to them, my house will be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den for robbers. Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it because all the people hung on his words. So not only does he say, Rome's going to knock you out. It's like that old LL Cool J song. Mama said, knock you out. I love that song. It's a really cool song. All right. Sorry. It's enough of Myron's soundtrack in his car. But that's what he say. He say, Rome's going to knock you out. And before they do, I'm picking a fist fight. Because y'all not doing right in this temple. And he goes in there and ransacks the temple. Wow. He affirmed the praise. He affirmed the praise. He affirmed the soundtrack. Psalm 118, right soundtrack. Hosanna, right chant. Yeah. If you shut down my disciples, the rocks will cry out. Yeah. But then, what's this? He's saying it's a different kind of fight. The soundtrack's right. It's time to fight. Not the way you think. Not the way you think. It's a different fight, right? So what's the real fight, right? What's the real fight? Real fight starts on Good Friday and then goes into Easter Sunday. The real fight is Jesus versus sin and Jesus versus Satan. The real fight's the cross, which is always the best fight. Because all other forms of nonsense are undergirded by what the cross is meant to do, right? The cross is meant to fight against sin and the devil. Easter Sunday, the resurrection fights against death. All those evil things undergird all nonsense that we can get into. All the nonsense in our culture right now, the abject stupidity, right? You can boil it down to sin, Satan, death. Boom. It all comes down to those three. They three things. Anything, any sin you wrestle with in your life, sin, Satan, death. Well, and the flesh. Okay. We got four. Right? It's really simple. And here's the cool thing, though. The cross is meant to deal with that. Isn't that neat? So Jesus is saying, I'm not fighting a fight you think I'm a fight. You got the right soundtrack. You got the wrong fight. And on Good Friday, you're going to see that. On Easter Sunday, you're really going to see it. It's a different fight. It's a different kind of fight. Right? This is the real fight. Right? That's the monkey wrench. But she could say this. Right? Let's make this personal. Right? Is that earlier he validated the hosannas. He validated the praise song, the great praise soundtrack, Psalm 118, save us. Please save. He said, yes, that's right. Yes, I'm going to do it. No, don't shut it down. If you shut that down, the rocks will cry out. Right? The people had it a little bit wrong. They're not stupid. We know they're not stupid because Jesus affirmed it. If they even were dumb or like theologically incorrect, he would denounce it, right? He didn't. He said, let them sing. You let them sing. Right? It's just things were a little different than they thought. That's all. This isn't a put down of people who sing Psalm 118 or who say, please save. This isn't a put down of you and I. When we pray and we say, please save. I got a medical thing. Please save. Somebody in my family needs help. Please save. My neighbor needs help. Please save. My nation and my culture is in severe danger. Please save. Even if we don't understand all the complexities of the fight that's involved, our hosannas are not lost hosannas. These hosannas, these prayers, this singing over Jesus, the miracle working Jesus, the Messiah Jesus, they're not lost simply because they didn't understand the fight completely. All of us pray prayers, have cries out to God where we don't understand completely everything God has to do. In fact, that's pretty much every prayer you pray. There's always, if it was like a pie chart, there's always some slice of the pie where we don't get it. There's something we don't understand. God does not put us down. God is not some stickler sitting in heaven going, oh, what? That's not good theology. That 5% of the pie chart, whoa there. I don't even think that's in the Bible. I don't know if I'm answering that, Hosanna. I don't know if I'm going to touch that prayer until you get it all right. All your I's dotted, all your T's crossed, get all your theology straight, then I might answer. I might. That's not God. That's not the Lord. Praise God, that's not the Lord. They had the right soundtrack, the right heart. They'd seen the right things, his miracles, to praise him. They had all the evidence in the world to praise him. And he said, yeah, got it right. The fight's going to look a little different, though. The way I save, the deliverance that you're cheering for, it's coming. But Good Friday is going to make things look a little different. But still, pray. Still, praise. Still, sing Hosanna. But just be ready for Good Friday. It's just going to look a little different. Friends, there are no lost Hosannas. In our soundtrack that we sing to God, our praises, our prayers, the 3 a.m. wake-up call. You wake up at 3 a.m. You feel like you've had coffee. You're like, oh, I don't know why I'm up. I feel like I had espresso. Whoa, why? Ah, and you think about it, and you're like, thank God that woke me up. Thank God wants me to pray. In fact, I can't even go back to sleep. I might as well pray. And God says, yes. And here's like 15 things to pray about. And you just keep praying. Next thing you look up, it's like 4:30 in the morning. And you're like, oh, how am I going to go to work in the morning? But you, I think supernaturally, you all right. You got to wake up at 6 or 7 for work or just to start your day and do whatever. And you're like, man, why I feel good? That's the Lord. All those ways that we pray, plead, sometimes beg, they're not lost. Just because we don't understand the depth of the fight. They're not nothing. He didn't disparage the praise, even though he made it clear, it's not what you think, Israel. Jerusalem and the temple are going down, and God's in it. And I got a beef with the people in the temple with the money stuff. We turned the temple into a bank. But the hosannas, the praises, the prayers, they're not wasted. And yours aren't either. There are no lost hosannas with the Lord. There are no lost prayers. There's just the real fight. Sometimes our prayers are right in line with the real fight. Jesus on the cross. Jesus in his resurrection. Sometimes they're not, but they're sincere. God hears. God answers. God redirects. Hey, a lot of my prayers redirected. You know, especially my angry prayers. God, oh, I wish you would do this and smite so-and-so. Ah, oh. I know, it's not becoming for a pastor to tell you that I pray these kinds of prayers. I do. Especially right about now. I pray angry prayers. Not every one of them. And not about you. Basically, don't worry. Like, man, I don't want to be in that dude's prayer list. Like, what? What's happening here? This dude calling us sniper angels for me. No. Okay. Chill out. Chillax. That's not about you. Right? But I got items on my list where I'm like, man, Lord, if you got, I don't know, if you got like a fireball that you want to drop on, like right here, like a targeted fireball drop, Lord, I'm down. I'm good. Right? Lord, if you got a sniper angel and he could shoot real good, right, and he want to like get right over here, like right there, hey, Lord, I'm good. And you know what the Lord does with that? He redirects that stuff. He's like, Myron, Take a look at the cross. Myron, I had sniper angels aimed at you more than a few times in your life, who did not squeeze the trigger because of mercy. He'll redirect. They're not lost. But they do get deeper. Right? There's no lost hosannas. There's no lost prayers. There is, however, a real fight. And God will bring our prayers, our praises, in alignment with the cross, in alignment with the resurrection, in alignment with his fight against powers and principalities, which are real. Real demonic forces. Right? Real demonic forces that are very serious. Take that stuff serious. Don't get obsessed with it, but take it serious. It's real. Right? There really are people in high places who are in alignment with absolutely dark demonic things. And many of them run parts of this world more so than you think. And you need to pray as if that's true. And all the voting in the world won't deal with that. However, the cross does. The resurrection does. And the prayers of God's people do. There's no lost hosannas. It's just the real fight. All right. So a few things. A word of encouragement. A few words of encouragement. Number one is your hosanna. You know, God, he just wants to deepen our hosannas. He's not putting us down. He just wants to make them deeper. He deepens our prayers when he redirects them to the cross. He didn't kick him to the curb. He didn't say, oh, you're a loser. You prayed a loser prayer. He's like, no, keep praying. Keep praising. Keep crying out to me at 3 a.m. Just let me make them deeper. I'm going to make things a little deeper. What if that's what he wants to do? To deepen our praises. To deepen our cries for, please save. Just make things deeper with what? The cross. The resurrection. We will celebrate in about a week. Good Friday, Easter Sunday. All right. If that's true, a few things for deeper hosannas. Number one, the Lord hears all of it. The Lord hears every praise. He hears every cry, Hosanna, please save. He hears them all. He hears the angry cry. Lord, I want sniper angels. Now. I want a fireball on him and her and that one. Now. I'm not saying he's going to do that. I'm just saying what he hears. Right? And he will redirect as needed. He'll do course correction. Right? Especially for the angry ones. A lot of times you need course correction for the angry prayers. He'll like kind of redirect and say, okay, let's get this right in line with the cross. Okay, good. We'll get rid of the crosshairs and we'll replace the crosshairs with the cross. Yeah. Now we're praying. Okay. But he hears all of them. Look at the passage. Jesus affirmed what people were praising, even though it was a different fight. He didn't put anybody down, and he won't put you down. He'll just redirect. Right? Also, deeper doesn't mean lesser. A lot of times when we're praying, you know, we all have to wrestle with unanswered prayer, unanswered hosannas. Please save! It's been 5 years. You're like, oh, right? That's all of us, right? It's all of us. Deeper doesn't mean lesser. Sometimes what God is doing is it's not that he's not answering, it's that he's taking us deeper. Saying, I want to deepen your prayer. I hear. I'm doing something deeper. Which also means I'm doing something better. Remember Daniel, in the book of Daniel. Daniel prayed. He had a prayer for his people. He gets a vision of an angel. The angel says, hey man, sorry I'm late. God heard your prayer right when you prayed it. But I had to go fight some demonic principalities first before I got here. Whew. Okay, now I'm here. Here's the answer. You read that, you're like, no way. Yeah, that was God giving Daniel a sneak peek behind the scenes, saying, I heard you. There's some machinery behind the scenes you don't see. I'm going to show you a little bit of the machinery. Here's the answer. That happens so much more than we think. Deeper doesn't mean lesser. When God takes our prayers deeper, it will be better. Right? Stick with it. And I'll add to that, that's not up here. A lot of times a way to stick with it is add some friends. Sometimes I get discouraged. I'm like, oh, I'm not seeing movement in this area. God, why? And it's like, phone a friend. Get some prayer ninjas. That's what you need. You're like, you need some ninjas, right? Get some prayer ninjas. Get some people who you know can pray. And say, could you pray for me? I want exactly this out. Could you pray? Get some folk. The more the merrier with prayer. I want as many people as I can get. Come on, pray. Hey, let's go. Right? Deeper doesn't mean lesser. With God, deeper means better. Lastly, be encouraged by depth from the Lord. Right? There's no answer to prayer that does not include God's victory over sin, Satan, and death. Right? All the things that the cross and the resurrection are meant to go to war against. So when God's taking us deeper, he's taking us deeper into the very gospel itself. Be encouraged by depth. Because the Lord already won the victory through Jesus 2,000 years ago on the cross and on the first Easter Sunday. And guess what? When God answers our prayers, our hosannas, he makes that victory increasingly ours. It's fascinating to think that's what's been happening since Jesus came. God's victory is fine. He's fine. He's trying to make his victory more ours. That's your discipleship. That's the life of the church. God's saying, I want what's my victory to be increasingly your victory as well, because you're my kids. Which means going deeper is an encouragement. It's a win. It's a plus, not a minus. Be encouraged. So friends, when it comes to Palm Sunday, our please save, our cries out to the Lord, please save, whatever that is for you. Whatever that is for you, however you fill in the blank, please save. Please do this. Please answer me, for my family, for my country, for our church, for our culture, for our world. You hosanna your head off. He might take them deeper, but they're never lost. Amen? Glory be to God.